Please teach.
All right. God bless you all. First of all, my thanks to God, our Heavenly Father, for His abundant grace and mercy in all of our lives that we're able to gather together like this on a regular basis and refresh one another and be blessed. And also my thanks to the Linfelds for making this available and for Barney and Vicki and their support and help in launching and continuing this fellowship, what I call the San Diego teleconference, in all my notes. I'm just thankful that we have the opportunity to be together and hear the word and share the word and fellowship a little bit every night. Every night. Just, it's a wonderful thing. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4, we'll be getting there in a minute. We, over the time that I've been listening and involved in our conference call fellowships, one of the things that continues to reverberate with me is how often the nature of God and love and God's love and the fact that God is love occurs and reoccurs and pops up in the teachings and in references by virtually everybody, because it's a pretty big thing. It's inescapable how great God's love is. We've talked about what kind of love it took for Jesus Christ to make the sacrifice that he did, and just how love runs through all aspects of our lives as believers and what God has shared with us, what God has taught us in the records, in the scriptures. And that kind of got me going on another aspect of that love, and that is compassion. And what I'd like to share about tonight is the compassion of Jesus Christ. Now, in 1 John, in chapter 4, it tells us in verse 8, we'll start in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So if you want to know what God is love. It ain't that complicated. We've seen that loving is giving. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved that he gave. And Jesus Christ expanded on love to his disciples. If we want to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, we'll start in verse 9. Where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be reign in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command of you." And then we jump down to verse 17, we see the command that he gives them. "These things I command you, that ye love one another." There's a parable that Jesus Christ shared. If we go to Luke chapter 10, and this is what launched me on the whole study of compassion. Luke chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 25. So Jesus Christ is talking to, he's sharing among believers, and of course there are some there are some lawyers, some teachers, some learned ones among all the folks there, and one of them, a lawyer, says to Jesus Christ, we'll start in verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus Christ's response was to send the man to the scripture. What is written in the law, Mr. Lawyer? How readest thou? And the lawyer answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, Jesus Christ responds, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, he's not seeking answers. He's just trying to prove how smart he is and see if he can show everybody he's smarter than Jesus Christ, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So who is it that I should love as myself? And this is where Jesus expands. He shares the parable of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, and the Samaritans were not of the community of the Israelites. They were not among the community of Jews. The Samaritans were looked on as dogs. But it was a certain Samaritan who, as he journeyed, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And then it talks about how he took care of the man and made sure that the man was cared for, that he was dressed and healed and taken care of after having been robbed and treated so badly. Then Jesus Christ asks the lawyer, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, when the lawyer said, who is my neighbor, in theory, you think he wanted to learn who it is he should love as himself, which is the lesson that Jesus Christ basically shared, and for those who had ears to hear and a heart to receive, that information, that truth was imparted to them. But what grabbed me was the fact that they described the Samaritan as a man when he looked on him, in contrast to the Levite and the priest, he had compassion on him. And so when I looked up the word compassion, it blew me away what kinds of characteristics and what some of the realities of that occurrence of that word are in the New Testament. It's the compassion here is the Greek word splanchnizomai. It's 14 letters, 4 syllables, a whole bunch of stuff that we don't use in our normal everyday conversation. A big word, but it has a big meaning. The combination of Strong's definition and Thayer's definition is that word is to be moved as to one's bowels, hence to be moved with compassion, to have compassion. So the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity. So it's almost a physical yearning. And this Greek word, in all of its occurrences, only refers to or is used by Jesus in the Gospels. And these occurrences are all a reflection of God's love, particularly motivating to some action. The first occurrence of that word is in Matthew 9, if you want to turn there. So it's not a, we think of compassion in modern day terms as a kind of empathy or concern, but biblically it's a deep down gut feeling, heart committed deal. It's to be moved. And in Matthew 9, here, let me get there. In we'll start in verse 35. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, don't we move with compassion, you're not just going to sit around. I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest, our God, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the next recorded action of Jesus Christ in the scripture is that in chapter 10, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then he named the apostles. Verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. That compassion that he felt resulted in this action on his part, sending out the 12, as the initial wave of laborers to the harvest. It was a great example of how compassion moves to action. There's another record in Matthew chapter 14, if you'll turn there. Matthew chapter 14, in verse 14, it says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And, here's some action, he healed their sick. That's pretty powerful. That's an immediate response. That's compassion's movement. That's that being moved to action by compassion. There's compassion for the healing. But wait, there's more. In verse 15 it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And the record follows, that with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they fed 5,000. That's compassion in action. Chapter 15, verse 32, you don't have to turn there. He feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fishes. In Mark, there's a record where he's moved with compassion and heals a leper. And you have two more records in Mark. In Luke, there's a record in chapter 7, and that leads us to the record in chapter 10, where he shares the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what we see in these records is that compassion is not something separate from the love of God. It is virtually a motivator to God's love put into action, the loving of your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus Christ told the disciples, and we're going to close here, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, in verse 34, Jesus Christ says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye, that's you and me, have love one to another." Amen.